I think they like you, Steve.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. Dark skies over America's greatest city. Good morning, happy Monday. Nasty weather rolling into the area.
I think those are green and purple skies, by the way.
Is that what color the radar is?
Well, the sky looked green and purple, and the radar's lit up like a Christmas tree.
So where's the storm now?
It is a line of storms that's stretching out from the lake over mainly our northern suburbs. So all the way from Evanston over to Schaumburg, and the storms are moving to east-southeast.
So if you are north-northwest of the city, batten down the hatches?
It's already been hitting you, and it's headed toward downtown Chicago.
Mm-mm. Okay, and how far south will it go?
I think it's probably going to stretch all the way down.
Are people in Oak Park going to get wet?
I think absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Probably in northwest.
How about Oak Lawn? Will people in Oak Lawn get wet?
Maybe Valparaiso. And
how about people near Oak Trees? Will they be getting wet?
Yes, everybody.
Looks
a lot
like
of flooding up north already.
Yeah, it stretches all the way south towards Champaign.
It is completely dark now outside, black.
Gurnee and Fox Lake already have high standing water in many places.
In the last 5 minutes, the sky went from gray to super dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like the Ghostbusters. Every time we look at that, the AN building, or the black one where the Hard Rock used to be.
Wait, are you seeing ghosts?
Wait,
we should check.
That could be a ghost. I don't know, Steve.
So basically, your travel times right now, Mary Vandeveld, about to triple or quadruple. Uh-huh. Is that pretty much it?
They're not too bad quite yet.
All right, but when the storm actually kicks in?
When people start heading to work more, about a half hour, it's going to be bad.
And are you going to close the city again today, Steve?
Well, I mean, that's a separate issue, I suppose, on some levels, but sure, why not?
Yeah.
There's too many people here.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are no watches and warnings, though. That's the good news right
really?
Now.
Really?
No watches or warnings.
Well, I'm watching and I'm warning. So be advised. Dave, be advised.
We had a line of heavy storms up north around 3:30 this morning. I mean, it was pouring and then lightning, and there was nothing by the time I got in the city.
I just got a report a few minutes ago from Amy Cochran, who is traveling in to be the world's greatest aunt and keep an eye on the great Abigail Grace today. And she said the western burbs have very dark skies as well.
Gonna be messy.
Looks like the entire area is it's dark. That's our summation. Super dark out there.
Now, Tim also said that once this storm moves through, there's another storm coming through later on that could produce golf ball size hail.
We had one. We don't want another one.
Okay. Wait, let me shut this down here.
Well, Steve, at least you'll be golfing today. with the hail.
I would go out and play, or as Abigail says, play golf balls, but we're a little busy today. In the meantime, on Friday, we will have the induction ceremony for the Walk of Fame, Mary Vandeveld and her friends. How about this for a text question today? Who, you can have two, who are your two favorite all-time WGN personalities? Any era.
That's a good one.
Any era. Your two favorite all-time favorite WGN personalities.
That's a good question.
And since Armageddon is rolling in, we might as well answer that question today.
Right, ahead of Friday.
Joe, I couldn't hear Sandberg yell. What was that?
She said Rick Hogan.
Rick Hogan, okay. There you go. Rick Hogan twice, Sandberg. Is that your vote? Yes, okay.
Do you have cash in your wallet this morning, Steve, that might affect our answers?
Oh, I'm not looking for you to vote for me. I'm looking for you to vote for whomever you choose and consider what that means for your future. I'm looking for you to vote your heart and consider what that means for the rest of the week.
And can we vote for ourselves?
Sure, absolutely. Joe, let me put you down for Joe.
I'm just saying, if you have a 20 in your wallet and you're going to hand that out, I might take another one for you.
Oh, so you're looking for me to buy votes. I see
how
that
goes. The Chicago way.
Yeah, it really is. You're not wrong.
And Steve might vote four times.
Let's go to the leaderboard now. Kogan won. Super Joe won.
No, Kogan is
all right.
Sandberg used two of her votes.
I've decided she can't use two votes on one person. I just corrected that.
I would vote for you and Dave. Oh, Dave's already in.
Dave is already
in. This isn't the Walk of Fame, though.
This is just the greatest, in your mind, your mind. There's no wrong answer.
Doesn't
here.
Doesn't he have to be an on-air person?
No. Well, personality, sure. I mean, well,
oh,
no.
Oh, you said personality. You got, well,
does it have to be an on-air person?
Art the IT guy.
Well, everybody has a personality.
Well, but who knows Art the IT guy other than Art's family and us? You got to, it's the listeners.
We talk about people all the time.
You
like
continue
Cortez.
This and you're off the Walk of Fame. Time for the Top 6 at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the Top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, they think they figured out what MH370 did, didn't do, and how it ended up. The Malaysian government thinks they finally have an answer as to what happened to the mysterious missing flight, MH370. Disappears off radar. The plane, the deceased, any remnants of the same, never found. And now they think they have some answers, including the very eerie fact that whoever was left to pilot the plane, regardless of what happened in the cockpit, specifically avoided radar for as much as the last hour of the flight as that plane came down. So it appears to be intentional. It doesn't mean they will find the plane or where it went down, but the Malaysian government is quite confident they figured it out. More on that later. As a matter of fact, Sandberg, David Curley, ABC News, I'm sure is covering this today. Track him down, please. Next. Controversial today and already leading to violence, the American mission will hold its opening ceremonies for the new embassy, the brand new embassy moving to Jerusalem. The east side of Jerusalem has always been considered to be a potential home for the seat of Palestinian government. But Jerusalem itself, the ancient holy city, the home to three great religions, will be the new home of the American embassy today. And violence has already broken out in several ways, including
9 Palestinians have already been killed. And when I was driving in this morning, Steve, the report said 1 to 2. Now 9 we can confirm have killed during these protests in Gaza.
So and that's Steve, likely to go higher.
Also, the Prime Minister of the UK, Theresa May, this morning says the UK has no plans to move its embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Yeah, none of the Western powers do, right?
None of them, no.
Next. President Trump appears to be rethinking the penalties recently imposed on the Chinese electronics manufacturer ZTE, which supplies a large number of components to Qualcomm here. ZTE has thousands and thousands of employees in China and announced the company was closing, sanctioned to not be allowed to do business with American companies until 2025. The ZTE company and its president, and along with President Xi, got a hold of President Trump and said, hey, back it down a little, please.
And he said, okay, strangely.
Yeah, and Trump is getting blasted now about what about American workers, what about American security, because the company had been involved in a whole lot of sanction-breaking rule deal-making, including dealing with North Korea behind our backs and dealing with Iran behind our backs. President Trump said, too many Chinese jobs being lost. Okay.
Yeah. And there's also real concern that this company was making phones that the Pentagon said they didn't want to use these phones anymore because they thought perhaps China was using this company to spy on the U.S. military.
Yeah, I've got one.
Yeah.
I've got one. It knows everything I do. I kind of like it. Kind of keeps an eye on me, keeps me accountable. Right. I get a call from China every couple of days. Hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Next. By the way, there's a duck in my backyard.
Uh-oh.
It just reminded me.
Like a real duck?
Yeah, a real duck. And there's no pond anywhere nearby. It's not like I have a pond.
Are you feeding it?
No. Hmm. Duck just hanging out in the backyard. It's like a confused, drunken duck just looking, wandering
just
around.
Just one?
Looking. Maybe it's looking for a job.
You know what they say. You see one duck, there's probably a whole lot more. So, but there's dogs in the area and stuff. I don't think it's smart for the duck.
No, I don't think so either.
I'm going to have a talk with that duck.
Picked a weird place to hunker down.
Is it a duck that can fly? Or like a duck that's like waddling?
Well, it's waddling just now, but I assume it flies when I'm not looking. Mm. Yeah, I mean, you know, you never know. You got to take a look. That wasn't an item, actually. That was just me wandering.
A random thought.
A new fissure in Hawaii's Puna District sent gases and lava exploding into the air on Sunday, spurring officials to call for more evacuations as residents waited for a possible major eruption of Kilauea at the volcano summit that could blast rockets weighing tons and tons and tons into the air, landing who knows where. It is an insane, apocalyptic sort of thing in a small area of the Big Island. But what's going on there is incredible. Mm-hmm. It's otherworldly. And it's amazing more lives haven't been lost.
There's 20 active fishers now.
Yeah, I just it's incredible. And if you have not seen the video of this, if you go online, you watch this video, you go, well, that's not really happening, right? That's a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's really crazy. And countdown is on. Wedding in 6 days. 6 days to the royal wedding. Paul Coit will appear with us tomorrow and several other times this week, I'm sure. We're putting together a game for Paul. I don't know what it is yet. It's the royal wedding game of some kind, but people are going to win.
Oh, it's going to be... I'm looking forward
not
to
it. Not a trip to London, probably a pizza, yeah. But you're going to win.
Do you know there's watch parties all over the area, too? Because the wedding is going to start at, I think, 5 or 6 o'clock.
Yeah, coverage
local
starts
time.
At 4 o'clock.
Our coverage on Channel 9.
We got
yeah.
some director's
yeah.
chairs and a bunch of TVs in here. Maybe we just have people come in here and just watch it here.
Oh, it's a great idea.
Yeah. Can't have the sound up. We're doing a show.
Well, actually, it's Saturday, though.
No, I'm not coming in Saturday.
That's we can do it during Lou's
show. Didn't think you were.
Yeah.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Golfer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
There's more to that clip, but you heard golfer. That's the important part. Danielle Keg standing by. The first ever floating golf green on the Chicago River. Danielle decided, you know, it'd be perfect. I'm going to hit in the middle of a rainstorm. It's a real test of your talent, Danielle.
Oh, hi. How are you guys?
Doing fine. Are you ready to play in the middle of a storm?
Yeah. I mean, it's raining. They kept talking about it yesterday, saying, I hope it doesn't rain. I hope it doesn't rain. I'm like, if you keep saying it, it's going to rain. And here it is.
They brought it on. They asked for it.
It's all good. As long as there's no thunderstorm, we'll be fine.
Now, you won your first major last year at Olympia Field, so Chicago's got to be your favorite city.
It is one of my favorite cities. However, I haven't gotten to see much of it, but except last night, I guess.
Oh, really? What did we do last night? A little good time out there?
Nothing. I've never been to downtown Chicago. It's the first time I've been here. So when I was driving in, I was on the phone, and it looked like kind of New York or San Francisco.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then I'm like, wait, where am I? And then, except better.
Yeah, yeah, except better.
I haven't gone outside of the hotel or this restaurant yet, so maybe I'll get to see it after a little bit today.
Andrea, say hi to Danielle.
Hey, Danielle, good morning. I'm wondering, is that, I love following you on Instagram. Is that your mom who seems to be your biggest fan wearing the USA hat at all your matches?
That's my mom.
Yeah, she's mom. Adorable. I hope you guys had a nice Mother's Day yesterday.
I didn't get to spend much time with her. I actually came to Chicago early in the morning. So, but we had early Mother's Day. We celebrate, I mean, like every day is Mother's Day for her. So, we celebrated it like a couple of days ago, which was better.
How many events does she see of yours?
Has she this year?
No. Does she travel? I know you're having trouble hearing me because of the storm, but does she travel with you a fair amount? Does she come to see events? What's the story?
She actually, well, like, growing up, my parents really didn't travel much with us, but right now she only comes to, like, the important ones,
okay.
Like Bahamas, Hawaii. Brand.
The beautiful weather.
Yeah, the beautiful cities and the beautiful weather. She's a smart woman.
Quote unquote important ones. Yeah. She only goes to the important ones. California. She makes an appearance in Korea. Something like that.
What's the deal where she dresses up all the time? Does she theme it out for whatever the event is?
That was Solheim Cup.
Oh, there's a Solheim Cup that she's dressing up for.
Oh, okay. I thought she was good at it all the time. All right, listen, you got to hit some balls.
No, and that's Solheim Cup.
You got to hit some balls, but let's tell people the KPMG Women's PGA Championship has a huge floating green on the Chicago River this morning to preview the upcoming championship, which is take place at Kemper Lakes Golf Club, June 26th to July 1st. Get your tickets. And Danielle Kang is going to be there. She's going to be on site at River Point Park this morning in the 7 o'clock hour hitting to a floating green. So when you're going to work this morning and you're seeing a crazy lady hitting balls onto a green in the river, she's not crazy. She's Danielle.
I'll be there.
All right. I appreciate you jumping on. Be safe. And if there's too much lightning, just don't do that thing from Caddyshack where the hard stuff's not going to come down for a while. Get inside.
You're going to judge me. I've never watched Caddyshack.
What?
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's going to really screw up our friendship. All right, Danielle, play well. Talk to you soon. Thank you. Danielle Kang.
That's funny.
It is not exactly golf weather.
No.
But I don't care what weather it is. if you can hit balls at a target in the river, that's pretty cool.
Gosh,
you
no
see
kidding.
Who she's competing against, too?
What do you mean, on site this morning?
Yes.
No, I do not know.
Tony Kukoc.
Oh, is that right?
Hey. Yeah.
Tony's a good player. Once Tony retired from the Bulls, he became nuts for golf, and I think he got it down to scratch. Scratch, by the way, doesn't mean he scratches himself.
No.
That's his own business. Scratch is a term for a zero handicap. Right. All right, we've got to take a break. We'll come back with the headlines in just a second. The KPMG Championship. This is the first major championship, or the women's PGA Championship, I should say. This is one of the major championships for the women, and it's coming to Chicago June 26th to July 1st. All right, now we'll come back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
6:43, and Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Doc, a couple of people to thank before we get started here. And let's see, Steve, I'm a regular listener from Peoria. Enjoy the show. Heard you mention your mom is a big New Orleans Saints football fan. My mother lived in New Orleans. It was her favorite city. Found the enclosed glass in a few samples I received for work. Thought you might like it. It's a Saints glass from Mark Golowski.
Cool.
So thanks for thinking of mom on Mother's Day. Ooh, I got to get her something. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, you took her to lunch on
Friday. We had two lunches last week.
Nice.
Yeah, she's funny.
Yeah, she is
funny. Man, when she gets her own show. Woo.
I'm the one who should have gotten her something. She was my honorary mom on Friday.
You didn't?
Well, no, because I got her something honorary.
Such an excuse maker. And M.W. Powell, Doc. M.W. Powell Company is a roofing and sheet metal company in Chicago. Tony Roque, R-O-Q-U-E. Is their president. He sent some pens in. We've said that everybody here steals our pens, Doc. So we restarted the pen club. Hey, would it kill you guys at Northwestern to send us some pens?
No. They're on their way. I'll take care of that today.
Top priority. But anyway, Tony sent a package of pens from his business, and he signed it Cranky Old Ass Tony.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Hey, at least we get pens.
So, Doc, how was your mom for Mother's Day?
Oh, she was great. We had a great day, and my goddaughter got engaged, too. So how cool is that for on Mother's Day to have all that taking place? So it's awesome.
All right, wait. Yep. Which most are we talking about here?
Kurt's daughter, Claire. Claire and Matt got engaged.
Beautiful girl and a great kid.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, good for them. They probably haven't asked me to perform the wedding yet, though, huh?
No, not yet. Kurt will be getting a second job to pay for the reception, so that's perfect.
Kurt was winding down. Kurt was thinking about I can kick back a little bit. Not so much.
Right. Nope.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. The other thing, Doc, this morning we're doing with a Walk of Fame ceremony on Friday, which, of course, you're invited to. Your two favorite all-time WGN personalities. I assume I'm going to put you down for a Spike Odell for one of them.
Yep. He's right up there. Yep.
Okay. And the second one?
It's got to be Mary Vandeveld, my high school, buddy.
All right.
Woo-hoo!
So we got a Spike.
Yay, Doc!
And a Vandeveld.
Steve, are you hurt?
No, not at all. No, listen.
I am.
You'd have to go a lot farther than this to bruise my ego. Let's see here. Doc, all right. So, Doc, Dr. Kevin Most, yesterday, Tiger played really, really well over the weekend. He's back. Do you agree with Dave Ennett now? He's going to win?
I think he may. And believe me, if you asked me 5 months ago, I would have said no chance. But, you saw some determination here on the weekend. And if Webb Simpson didn't have that huge lead, things could have played out a lot differently.
Now, no broken bones in the tournament this weekend, but let's talk about bones for a second. Not the caddy, the actual bones. So let's talk a little bones, Doc. What do we know about our bones and what do we need to know?
Well, people don't really think about their bone health, and I think it's important that we do because as we age, our bones start to weaken. And if you saw in the Tribune yesterday, there was a big study or big article on the impact of people that fall and fracture bones. And we know that, people that have hip fractures, 300,000 hip fractures a year, 30% of those individuals die within a year because of immobility, because of getting pneumonia, because of other reasons. And a higher number of them see their mobility limited quite dramatically. So although this is more of a disease of seniors, it's important that we talk about it so that they know what they can do to prevent it as much as they can and what to look for.
You have given us notes here with some, and by the way, the notes from Dr. Most are posted along with the podcast every morning after the show. But Doc has given us some notes here. Fascinating. I'm 57 years old. I didn't know half of these things on this list. For instance, we have 206 bones in the human body, which is less than we have when we're born.
Yeah. We start out with about 270 when we're born, and then a couple of those actually merge together to form one bone. And I think the cool thing is that of the 206, 54 of them are just in our hands. So we have 27 bones in each hand for a total of 54, but 54 out of the 206 are just in our hands.
You think about that, because you look at your hands, you go, well, that's 3-4 bones. Tops.
Yeah.
It's actually a lot more than that, and that, I guess, because we have so much flexibility and so many things our hands have to do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Part of the smart design. Now, here's another thing I didn't know. Our bones are strongest in what age range? Between 30 and 35. I would have thought it would have been when we're teenagers.
Mm-hmm. No. Matter of fact, they're still growing and they're still getting bone density. We hit our maximum bone density somewhere between age 30 and 35, and then it starts to decrease from that point forward.
Yeah, I remember. That for me was 91 to 96. Those were good years.
Why is it that women, I enjoy reading your stats too, Doc, 1 in 4 men will break a bone due to weakened bones, but 1 in 2 women, why do women have more brittle bones?
Yeah, the women will have, it's unfortunate. So one bad thing probably about being a woman is that as you hit menopause, your loss of estrogen increases your bone loss. So women are going to have a higher chance of osteoporosis. So they are going to have a higher rate of fractures. So it's so important for women, speaking the day after Mother's Day, that we make sure that moms and seniors know the importance of this, because, like I said, 1 in 2 women will have a fracture where only 1 in 4 men will.
How do you treat it? Or prevent it, maybe, is a better term.
Yeah, you know, because treating a fracture in seniors is much more difficult because our bones don't grow as fast and as good. You know, you break an arm as a young kid, you know, boy, that's healed up very quickly because your body is still laying down calcium. So for adults, what we really want to do is work more on prevention than we do on treatment. We're going to try to avoid any treatment.
I've started drinking more milk, you know, more than I ever have before. Is it too late, or should women start taking calcium pills, you know, in their 20s and 30s?
Absolutely. You know, every woman should have about 1,200 milligrams of calcium a day. And, you know, here's Dave Bennett, you know, kale is very high in calcium, so you don't have to just take pills. Kale, broccoli, spinach, some of those leafy dark green vegetables are high in calcium. So if you don't
milk then, so drink milk.
Milk, yes.
I'm telling you guys. Right, Doc? Yep. I try to tell them.
Yeah.
But
they just don't listen, Dave.
What's worse, a broken femur or a kale salad?
I can assure you that the broken femur is.
Is skim milk okay?
Skim milk is okay. You know, it's taking more of the fat out than it is the calcium. But whole milk is great for people, too, as they age as well, because we're not as concerned that at that point of the cholesterol and the fat that's in there, we really want to make sure they get the nutrients. And all milk now is vitamin D fortified, so we know that it's good.
Postmenopausal women, greatest dangers. So what do they do?
Well, it's a couple interesting things with women. What they want to do is they definitely want to know what their bone score is and what their bone health is. And then, two, it's going to be talk to their doctor about the need, after they have their scan to see what their bone score is, do they need other medication, or is it just going to be, hey, you know what we need for you to do? We need to make sure you exercise every day, and we need to make sure you have calcium in your diet. Some people may need additional medications beyond that.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, isn't strengthening, you know, with the activities just as important as your diet and just doing, like, mobility and balancing exercises so you don't wipe out?
Absolutely. Probably the most important thing that we can, the message that we can get across right now to moms and seniors is to get up and move. Anything that's going to bear weight is going to keep your bones stronger. Says, why? That doesn't seem to make much sense. But the body knows if you're not using something, then I'm not going to strengthen it anymore, and it'll stop doing that. So really, when you look at adults and the seniors, and again, it goes beyond women, it's men as well. Yoga is probably the best thing that they can do. Increase your flexibility, keeps your balance up, and is weight-bearing exercise. Probably the best exercise anybody can do right now is yoga.
And it's hard. It's hard. It's a good workout. Pump your cardiovascularly as well. All right, we come back. More bone talk. It's a regular feature we do here. And this is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Doc, stand by.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Wow, these texts are flying in. Favorite WGN personalities of all time. Chuck Swirsky will be on with us at 7:10. He's one of the inductees on Friday. And Doc will rejoin us in a second with more Bone fun facts. Doc, here's a few.
Yep.
John Williams, Spike Odell. Bozo and Cookie. I don't think they did a lot of radio.
Not much.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Paul Harvey and Orion Samuelson. Yeah, there you go. There's a couple of towers. Mm-hmm. Bob Collins and Spike Odell. Bob Collins. Franklin McCormick. Bill and Wendy. Roe and Steve. Bob and Spike. The Ronald Reagan and the Big O.
Did they say which Steve?
Yeah, which
Steve they are referring to?
We pretty much have to assume it's me if it's just Steve.
Uh-huh. What about Grzanich and Bertrand?
Nah, that's why we're assuming it's me.
Uh-huh. Dale.
Dale. Yeah. Well, he's great.
Wally Phillips, Uncle Bobby, Bob Collins and Spike. Bob Collins running away with his poll, kids. Kathy and Judy get votes. Dean Richards and Gary Meyer. Well, good for Gary. And Bob Collins and Orion Samuelson. And a texter suggests, hey, you know what might be fun? Ask who the all-time worst WGN personalities are. Maybe after the induction. All right, back to Dr. Most in 60 seconds.
Steve, let me tell you a quick story about Wally Phillips.
Yeah, sure.
When I was growing up, I was caddying at Butterfield, and I was 17, and Arnold Palmer was coming to play at Butterfield in a charity outing and with Wally Phillips.
Okay.
And I was the top caddy, fortunately, and Larry Ryan, our good friend, was the number two caddy.
So you guys caddied for those two?
I got the caddy for Arnie, and he got the caddy for Wally Phillips. Wally Phillips, on the 11th hole, hits a shot that hits a spectator, and he quits. Well, he doesn't quit. He stops playing golf. So Larry just walked around with his golf bag for the last 8 holes, and Wally walked around with the people, but I got the caddy for Arnie. And to this day, Larry's like, I can't believe you got Arnie and I got Wally, and he said he couldn't have been nicer, though.
So Wally was so traumatized he didn't finish the round?
Yeah. Yep. All he did was hit putts after that.
How about that?
That's funny. That's like Orion Samuelson's first story, playing golf when he shot like a 172.
Orion and Bob. Yeah. Orion and Bob. Yeah. Famous story. They went to Hawaii and they ran out of golf balls and they asked the beverage cart girl to go back to the clubhouse to get them more balls.
And then Emil tried to help Orion.
Bob.
Or Bob, yeah. Bob and he stood right in front of him. He said, just try to hit me.
Yeah. He got so frustrated. He stood 60 yards in front of Bob Collins and just went, hit me. And by the way, Bob missed. Doc, we're Bone Fun Facts. And again, we post these incredible notes you do every week with the podcast. Sandberg, when does the podcast go up?
Joe gets it up in about 10 minutes.
All right.
So we hang up with Doc.
10 minutes from now, you'll be able to see all of these notes. Our total body weight, we know it's a lot of water. How much is bone weight?
Yeah, you think about bones as being heavy, but really they only take up about 20% of our total weight. It's more made up of muscle and water, actually, but thinking about how much we weigh, that these bones still hold all that weight and still protect us is pretty cool.
What's the largest, strongest bone in the body?
The strongest one is our femur, which is our thigh bone. Mm-hmm. And it's fairly good size, and it is extremely strong. I mean, it can hold up to 30 times our weight, so it just tells you the importance of that femur. The other thing that's important about the femur is think about the two joints we injure the most, our knee and our hip. Both of them are portions of the femur. So it's a very important bone in our body.
The smallest bone? Not the biggest bone now, the smallest?
Yeah, the smallest bone is a bone called the stapes, and it's in the ear. And I'm trying to think how I can describe how small it is. I guess if you took a paper clip and cut it into 5 pieces and bent one of those pieces, that's how small it is. And yet it's extremely important for us in our hearing and us in our sensation of movement. So although the femur is very, very important for strength, the stapes is very important for communication and balance.
And remind people one more time, Andrea, you were going to ask about the medication suggestion?
Yeah, the medication, especially with if you're on estrogen, too.
With osteoporosis?
With osteoporosis.
Yeah, so you've probably seen ads for it. There's a bunch of medications out there. Fosamax is one, Reclast. And what those medications try to do is they try to stop the bones from being reabsorbed. So they try to slow that down, which allows the bones to be strengthened. That being said, it's one where you'd rather not be on those medications. They have a lot of side effects. They don't work well in some people. So really, the message out there right now is women in their 40s, 50s, early 60s, 70s, get out, exercise, yoga, balance, and calcium in their diet. So, kale, broccoli, spinach, And if you smoke, stop smoking. It really accelerates bone loss as well.
And again,
milk's okay, Steve.
Milk is okay, yeah, because if you tuned in late, again, Doc said avoid kale at all costs if you can find something else.
Well, I also said to do yoga, and you said yogurt. So, you know, that's the other big
thing. Yogurt's good.
Right.
There's a new form of yoga, hot yogurt, where you actually eat yogurt while you're sweating.
It's Dean's mom's recipe, right?
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Dr. Kevin Most, as always, thank you very much.
You got it, man. Take care.
We're back with the news next, 720 WGN. All right, before you do the introduction to the news here, my favorite text so far, by far, Jeff, the guy from the Cat Spot Litter commercial, favorite WGN personality of all time.
Really?
Very good. Well, more of that coming up.
It's 3:45 on the Chicago Bears Radio Network. This is Chuck Swirsky reporting from our studios at WGN in Chicago. And we understand now that Jim Hart and Dave Ennett are back with us from the Pontiac Silverdome. So let's go back to Michigan.
We had to piece that together from the prehistoric era. Chuck Swirsky and Dave Ennett. Just seeing the joy on your faces hearing that piece of tape again.
Those were good times.
Hey, can I? I'll give you a quick 20 seconds, Steve.
Go ahead. Way.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Of course.
So, 1985, we get the Bears rights.
Yep.
Okay, we actually received them a year prior to that, but 85, we go on the air. And Jim Hart was in the booth with Dick Butkus and Wayne Larrivee. And, Dave, you remember this. The Bears are playing the Washington Redskins. Jim Hart had played the previous season with the Redskins, if I'm not mistaken, or the maybe a season before.
Mm-hmm. Longtime Cardinals quarterback traded at the end of his career.
And he knew every play the Redskins were running. Remember that?
That's right. Yep.
I mean, it was so
bizarre. He looks like a psychic genius.
Yes, he did.
Did you travel with Jim Hart, Dave? I didn't know the
story. Yes, I did. And Chuck was back here hosting in the studio and traveled with Jim Hart and Dick Butkus. And,
yes.
I mean,
and the 85 Super Bowl years, Dave was right there on the field when the Bears beat New England. We were upstairs. It was great.
Chuck, you did every sport in your GN days, didn't you?
Yes, except hockey.
When did you start focusing on basketball?
Well, I had done basketball, let's see, with DePaul. I was. We had a number of people come in and out of the DePaul booth, ranging from Dwayne Statz, Joe McConnell, rest his soul. We had Bill Berg was actually doing DePaul.
Okay.
And then he took a job to call the play-by-play for the Chicago Blitz, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. And so I was doing DePaul. And then in 1994, there was a right situation with the DePaul administration and GN, and we were bringing in Northwestern and Dave, which was outstanding. And so I took a job at WJR in Detroit calling the University of Michigan, Go Blue. And so there you go.
And one of the best NBA voices, period, and well-respected for the same. Those Bulls games now on, I forget, you know, the Bulls move around a little bit. You're on the score now?
We're on the score.
Okay. And you can hear Chuck there all the time. Talk about the Bulls for a second. We got some hope going forward here?
Well, I mean, the lottery is tomorrow, and we'll see where, you know, the ping pong balls fall in place. Hopefully, we'll have a revisit of what happened 10 years ago when the Bulls unexpectedly got the number one pick in the draft. That turned out to be Derrick Rose. But you never know. But, I mean, this is a building process. Very similar, almost, not quite like the White Sox. They're different cultures, different sports, but the same core principles as far as young players and the development of young players to get to the point where you're competing for a championship, not just a couple years where you have that mini run and then you have to go back. Because the last place in the NBA, Steve, you want to be is a 40-win team.
Right.
Because you're not good enough to win a championship.
Or bad enough to get the best.
That's correct.
I want to talk more about the past than the present, but I do want to know who you think is going to win this all this year. Has LeBron got enough gas in the tank, or is it going to come out of the West again?
You know, there's something about this Boston team that has really grown on me. And we played, we mean the Bulls, played Boston late in the year. And I saw something out of that club. Those young players matured during the year with Brown and Tatum. Mm-hmm. And I love Horford. I've been an Al Horford fan from his days at Florida with Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer, and whatnot. And so this Boston team, I still think Cleveland has something left in the tank despite yesterday's game. The team I thought that was going to win was the old club I used to call games for, Toronto.
Yeah, because, who just fired their coach, by the way, which is unfortunate because he's a great coach.
He's a wonderful man, a great human being. But having said that, it's pro sports.
Sure.
And, you know, it's what have you done for me lately.
Next!
They win 59 games, a franchise high, and he's shown the door because he couldn't get past LeBron.
Right.
And I mean, if you think about it, it's very similar to what happened in the 80s and 90s when we were covering the Bulls, and that the Cavaliers were an outstanding basketball team.
They couldn't get past the Bulls.
Couldn't get past it. And Lenny Wilkins did everything he could. And yet,
if only they didn't have that Michael kid.
Well, think about, you know, if Michael Jordan doesn't make that shot against Elo, how the course of history changes.
The dominoes of NBA history fall differently if that's not the case. One shot. And sure, he pushed off. But he was Michael. Give him a break. Let's come back and talk a little bit about you and Dave, reminiscing a little bit about what happened here from 19 when? When did you come to
Well, Dan Fabian actually placed a call. I was working at the Loop.
The great Dan Fabian.
Yes, the great Dan Fabian. And I got a call in late 1981.
Okay.
And he had a vision.
He was seven then. Chuck was 7 years old.
7 years old.
Right.
And he had a vision that he wanted to bring in a different, not different, completely different sound, because we had Wally Phillips and we had Roy Leonard and we had Bill Berg and we had Bob Collins, Milt Rosenberg. I mean, but he wanted to turn the page a little bit.
A little youth injection.
Yes. And so he wanted Eddie Schwartz to run the nighttime.
Right.
And Eddie was one of the most unique individuals I've ever met in my life.
Eddie is the only human being on the planet. The first word that comes to everybody's mind when they describe him is unique, because there are about 57 things that fall under the unique umbrella with Eddie. Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
But we put things in place, and then we started to have a landscape of how we were going to navigate our sports department. And so we started with a program called Sports Central.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Dan and I kicked around a few names, what we were going to call the program. It started at 6:15, went to 7 o'clock. And Jack Brickhouse had just left the Cubs booth. And Jack was, to me, Jack is the greatest sportscaster in the city's history.
Well, listen.
That's just my opinion.
I consider you of the Jack Brickhouse model. Because any sport he could throw at you, you could do. And that's a gift.
Well, thank
Dave
you,
Ennett's the same way. You put any sport in front of Dave Ennett, you can call it. That's a serious talent. And that's one of the reasons you're going to be inducted on Friday in the Walk of Fame.
Thank you.
Stick around. More in a second with Chuck Swirsky.
Dang, with the deflection in the steal. Down the floor. Caught it. Derrick Rose, are you flat out kidding me? What elevation! Derrick Rose put a nasty slam from Roddy Brewer.
Who can set the court on fire?
Only the Bulls.
Keep us burning with desire.
Only
the Chuck Swirsky, Derrick Rose dunk call. Textbook. Textbook. Just the right amount of crazy mixed in with the perfect call of a slam dunk. Like no other at the time. And I'll tell you, if Derrick Rose was not made of stained glass, can you imagine the fast track to the Hall of Fame he'd be on now? Incredible talent.
A little-known story in that playoff series against Philadelphia where he went down with 120 to go in the ballgame. So there was a timeout taken just before.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, this is game one of the series, and Rose is phenomenal. And I turned to Bill Wennington. I said, Bill, I think we got a shot at going all the way. I kid you not, those were my exact words.
Right.
Because you could see this club was just built for a long, long playoff run. And the way Rose was playing was phenomenal.
Right.
And I thought, wow, you know. And then he went down and it changed the entire, and I mean the entire infrastructure of where the Bulls were going, what they wanted to do, because they had built this club around this magnificent point guard with extraordinary skills.
It's a superstar league, right?
Yep.
It's a superstar league,
yes,
and you got to have one or two at the top of every team, and if you lose them, everything changes. Chuck Swirsky and Dave Ennett worked together starting when, Dave?
I came here in 1984.
Right, so he'd been here 3 years. Were you intimidated by the Swirs?
Well, I knew Chuck very well. We were good friends.
Yes.
Chuck, I met Chuck when he was working at WCFL when he first came to town. And they went to the Loop. He had me on his show on the Loop.
Yes.
And what was it? At Buffoon's Bar on Irving Park.
On Irving Park.
On Sunday nights,
we had
right?
Buffoon of the Week.
By the way, wow. Chuck was just telling us a story off the air about when the radio station was a Bradley place for all those years.
Yeah.
How you would get invited to the Bozo Pie Fights?
Well, you know, what would happen is that I was working mornings and whatnot, and Fraser Thomas was there in the cafeteria. We had a little cafeteria with real live human beings serving and making and serving food.
It was three tables, no waiting.
That's right. And so Fraser Thomas and Bob Bell, I mean, it was terrific. I mean, these were the days where, like, you would sit down with legends.
Sure.
I mean, my office, I walk in, Jack Brickhouse, John Drury.
How about that?
I mean, it was unbelievable. And then you had Wally Phillips, and you had Roy Leonard, and you had Bob Collins.
Walking, talking statues.
Milt Rosenberg.
Yeah, everywhere, in every corner. So were you good at the pie fights? Did you win?
No. I was not.
Got tattooed a few times?
Were they just whipped cream?
Yeah, whipped cream, sometimes shaving cream.
Okay.
Show business tradition is shaving cream.
With the toga robes.
Yeah, because it sticks more? Is that why?
Yeah, no, it's cheaper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, shaving cream, at least in that case, is cheaper. You got a singular moment of your WGN years that stands out?
Well, you know what? Every Groundhog's Day, Bob would send me out. And, I mean, he would send me right here, right in front of the Showcase studio.
Yep.
And he would, I'd have to look for my shadow.
if Chuck sees
my
shadow. Yes. Was it six more weeks of basketball?
And then we, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, one day, on February 2nd, you know, the Planter Peanut mascot?
Sure.
Well, yeah. He shows up, she shows up, whoever Planter the Peanut is. And so we both were walking the streets of Michigan Avenue.
Oh, you and the Peanut Man?
Yes.
Well,
I'm not sure that is the highlight.
That's how you know you made it in show business, when you're hanging out with Peanut Man on Michigan Avenue. Dave, you got a singular Chuck moment that stands out for you?
Well, now listen, I remember a moment before he came to WGN that I think, I don't know if that's something you really want me to bring up, but it was...
Too late now.
Stump the Cubs.
Oh, no.
Snub the Cubs. Snub the Cubs.
Yes.
What was Snub the Cubs?
Well, what happened is the Cubs were really bad.
Yeah, I remember.
And so I was doing a talk show on WCFL.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking, you know, we ought to have a boycott that Cubs night, you know, or day in that...
Send a message.
Yes. Send a message. Snub the Cubs. And it started picking up steam. And there was a radio TV critic here who actually was very kind to me, and probably without him, I still wouldn't be in the market. But
pre-feeder?
No, it was Gary Deeb.
Okay, yeah. Gary Deeb. And listen, there's not a lot of people that said Gary Deeb was kind to them.
No, you're one of the few. You know what? He bought in to what we were doing. We're the only sports talk show.
Oh, that's great.
At WCFL. And I don't want to say I pushed the envelope, but, you know, when you're the only sports talk show.
Tear it up.
Yeah. And so we had the Snub the Cubs, and all of a sudden the papers got behind it. Some of the beat reporters, Bob Nightingale and of the Tribune and Joe Goddard, and they started picking it up. And I get a call from Bob Kennedy, who at that time was the general manager of the Cubs.
Not happy with you.
And he says, I want to see you. And he comes in, and he was a big, large man, almost like Dallas Green.
Okay.
Yeah, and Dave knows who I'm talking about, Bob Kennedy. And so he calls me in, and he swirls around in his chair, and he goes, what's the meaning of this? I said, well, you know, quite frankly, Bob, I mean, the way things are going, I thought we would just, you know, bring attention to what's happening with the ball club. And so he went on a rant. He called me every name of the book, more names than I even had heard of in
whose office?
Life.
His office or
his
yours?
His office.
Okay.
And so he says...
So he brought you in. You don't work for him. He brought you in to tear you a new one.
Yes. And so...
That's a gutsy move, I'll say that.
He said, expect our lawyers to contact your radio station. Well, at that time, our radio station... I mean, I appreciate the fact they hired me, but we were like just... barely hanging on.
Sure.
I mean, like the first broadcast, I received about a 10-page radio audio log with no commercials. It was blank pieces of paper.
How long was the show?
4 hours a night.
Four hours a night with about four commercials. That's a lot of talk.
No commercials. All PSAs. And I interviewed myself. Chuck, what do you think of Dave Kingman?
So if they actually took action against you, and in some strange netherworld,
well, they
won.
Take action.
Right, but they win about $10.
So out the door, I turn around and say, Bob, does that mean our luncheon scheduled for Tuesday is off? Because I actually had lunch, was scheduled to have lunch with them.
Yeah, I guess that probably didn't happen.
Yeah, that didn't.
Snub the Cubs turned into, it just kind of fizzled out eventually?
Yes, it did.
Listen, the stories that go about sports behind the scenes here are as fascinating as the stories that happen on the field, on the court, on the ice, on the football field as well. And you guys both have probably forgotten more sports history than you'd ever remember. So.
Well, you know, it was a lot of fun, and you know, I'm so happy because I've seen... And
well, you guys are still in the middle of it. You're not going anywhere.
No, I've known Dave forever, and, you know, because I did college basketball for, let's see, 14 with DePaul, 4 for Michigan. So that's 18 years of being around. And Dave, let me tell you what, now I'm not here to patronize him, but he is like an institution in college athletics. Like, he's really, really good, number one. And when you think of Northwestern sports... And
you think of Dave Bennett?
Absolutely. Well, I did some football for Northwestern on the old Sports Vision.
I remember that, I was first starting out. Yeah.
And we were really, really bad. I mean, like, really, really bad. There was a game Ted Albrecht and I called, I think, in Iowa City, and it was 50-0 at halftime. And I read out of the Daily Iowan, I read a classified ad for a John Deere.
Because somebody had to bring entertainment to the broadcast.
Well, I mean, come on. There's a kid taking stats for us, and he's got this newspaper. He said, "What's that?" He goes, "The Daily Iowan." I said, "Give me that."
Right.
I turned to the back of the classified section.
There's nothing good I can say about our boys right now.
I'm thrilled for Northwestern now, and I'm glad that you know, that they have recognized Dave in such a great manner. In fact, they really should call the booth the Dave Ennett booth one day.
They do at football. We're trying to get the table done for basketball. It's great to see you, man. And I look forward to Friday.
I look forward to Friday, and thank you again.
Who are you bringing, by the way? You got family? Or?
No, you know what? My children are spread all over the map. One's in Portland, Oregon. One's in Washington, D.C. Thank you. She's graduating next week. and my other one is in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Wow. Yeah. What did you say to drive the children away so far?
Well, you know what? They have their own thing.
They have their lives.
Yep.
Well, that's great to see you. Friday's going to be fun. And you are well-deserved, my friend.
Thank you.
The voice of the Chicago Bulls and the longtime voice of sports, period, on this great radio station. More with Chuck Swirsky on Friday, but we'll come back in just a moment, get your headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. Purple Rain.
It's not purple, and it's over for the moment, but let's sway. Purple rain. Hands up, drive with your knees, come on. Purple rain. You know you're doing it. Look around, other people are doing it in their cars as well. You're probably not going fast enough to hurt yourself anyway. .746, people continue to text in. I got one here for you, Sandberg, that you're, I think you'll appreciate in just a second. But here's a few. The question, your two favorite WGN personalities of all time leading up to the Walk of Fame ceremonies on Friday. Nick DiGilio and Spike Odell.
Oh, very nice.
John Williams and Chuck Swirsky. 219, love WGN. I had the pleasure to meet Spike and Al Lerner at a Cubs opening day event. Got to dance with Big Al.
Big Al, yeah.
708, Bill Berg, one of my favorite talk show hosts. 630, Bobby and Leonard. Uncle Bobby and Leonard. Who's Leonard?
Roy Leonard.
Oh, Roy Leonard. Okay. Of course, Roy Leonard.
Yeah.
Wow. Duh. 630, we can't pick just two. It's impossible. 815, Nick DiGilio, Steve and Johnny. 815, Spike Odell. 847, hard to pick two, but I have fond memories of listening to Spike Odell and Steve and Johnny. 847, Spike Odell and Bob Collins. 815, Spike Odell and Andre Darlis. 815, John Williams and Steve Bertrand. 708, Kathy and Judy. 219, Steve and Rowe. Bill F., honorary mention.
Nice.
847, Kathy and Judy. Bob Collins and Kathy and Judy from a 708. 616 says Kathy and Judy. 630, Steve Cochran and Big O. 847, funniest but short-lived, Al and Ed. We also got somebody immediately after that said, worst show ever, Al and Ed. These are the kind of texts we get every day. 727, Kathy and Judy, best ever. 773, Milt and Matt. Max, I should say. Milt Rosenberg and Max Armstrong. Kathy and Judy ruled from the 920. This is a combo I didn't see coming from the 847. Orion Samuelson and Brian Noonan. I know. Oh, okay, they're both tall.
Yeah.
312, Bob Collins and Kathy and Judy. 815, Steve, you're right after Spike and Bob. Thank you. 815, Kathy and Judy. Steve and Johnny. Spike, Steve and Rowe. Nick times two. Milt, the great Roy Leonard. John Williams. Orion Samuelson. And then there's this from the 630. I vote for Mary Sandberg for her great organizational skills and her unique storytelling talent. And Steve Cochran for making sense of it all. I came after
that
you.
Nice. That would be my number one favorite listener right there.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Yeah.
Hey, who do you want to say that to?
I wanted to give a shout out to my stepkid's mom, Shannon. You know, yesterday was Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And in our modern family situation, some of those days get a little weird because it's not natural.
Sure.
And, you know, things are just different.
You got to adjust. You got to be fluid.
Yeah, and sometimes your feelings are hurt even when they shouldn't be over something silly mm-hmm. that Hallmark came up with. But the last 2 years, we have not had the kids on Mother's Day weekend, which is just the way the schedule worked out. But she did it last year and she did it this year. Shannon brought the kids over and they brought me flowers and my favorite candies and some donuts. And they wrote really nice cards. And my husband's amazing and thanks me all the time. But this is not his doing. You know, this is all Shannon. And so
good for her.
I went back out to the driveway to thank her. And she's been so nice about it that she's like, did you see what they wrote? It's so sweet. And Catherine wrote, they can't picture. They don't remember their lives before meeting me. You know, that I've just always been there.
That's important stuff.
And Patrick wrote something about how everyone wants one of me. So, like, you know, everyone needs a Mary. So it just...
We've said that behind your back here.
I know. I think that the moms set the tone in these situations. She could very easily have blocked them from liking me at all.
Yeah, but speaking for stepmoms everywhere, it's important stuff and it's a nice touch. And I hope other stepmoms
are treated
the same.
It's very big of her, though, because she,
you're right.
She
moms
doesn't
do
have
set
to.
The tone. You're
know,
right.
She didn't have to do that. And she's from day one, she's been amazing. So she deserves a shout out for
well,
that.
Well, there you go. Nicely yeah. done by you, Shannon.
Yeah.
And happy Mother's Day, as I said to you, I think, in a text.
Yes, you did.
Because that's the new warmth.
Yep.
A text.
Thank you. That's a good communication style for me. I like
right, right. It limits the conversation.
Yep, exactly.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
7:54, Steve Cochran Show continues with Ryan Nobles, our friend from CNN, all over social media, at Ryan Nobles. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing fine. We got a lot of tension in Jerusalem this morning, and CNN is reporting now death count 37.
37 dead, 1,500 injured.
And this is,
ABC is saying 1,600.
This is just the beginning, Ryan. What do we know?
Yeah, I'm watching these pictures right now of the U.S. Embassy getting set to open in Jerusalem. Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump are there, along with Ted Cruz, senator from Texas. You know, this is a big risk that the Trump administration is taking. This is a campaign promise that he made, that he was going to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem in a very volatile region in the Middle East. Obviously something that was strongly disapproved of by the Palestinians because they don't recognize Jerusalem as being the official capital of Israel. It opens up a lot of very old wounds from this part of the world. And of course, the big thing is that the whole goal of Jared Kushner, the thing he's been deputized with by his father-in-law, is to bring peace to this region, to solve this problem between the Israelis and the Palestinians. A lot of people are scratching their heads wondering how this helps that goal and doesn't just further inflame the tension there. But you're right, as we see the pictures on TV with everybody shaking hands and hugging just outside these embassy walls, not far at all, it's growing more and more violent because people are upset about this decision.
Why now? Why did it have to be now? And is this a conspiracy theory or am I crazy to think that Benjamin Netanyahu's own problems in country and potential criminal problems, this is a great distraction for that?
Well, I think that you're at least correct to wonder and ask that question. You know, there's not necessarily a straight line drawn from the fact that he's facing corruption charges in his own country and the fact that they're making this announcement. But you're right. Initially, there was a plan for more of a slow rollout by the U.S. government to make this happen. And then all of a sudden, they just made this announcement that we're going to do it on this day and we're going to do it very quickly. And he is definitely under a cloud of controversy there. He is facing a stiff opposition from the opposing party in his country. So this obviously offers a great distraction there. This is kind of a unifying thing for everyone in Israel. Many Israeli Jews are very happy to see this happen, regardless of whether or not they're moderate or conservative. So this certainly helps him with his own country, and Netanyahu, obviously a close ally of President Trump's.
The other news that's percolating in Washington this morning starts with what?
Well, it's kind of ridiculous for us to say this, but I do think that one of the big things that the White House is going to have to get out from underneath from is this comment by a low-level communications staffer suggesting that the White House doesn't need to worry about John McCain's role in the Gina Haspel confirmation because he's dying anyway.
Right. And it's a completely outrageous, cruel thing to say, and an embarrassment on all levels. And there's no reason not to be a decent human being and say it was a private meeting, but I'm sorry it was overheard. It never should have been said, and we're sorry. And that message should have come from the president. But the idea that we would even expect the president to do the right thing in this circumstance is ridiculous as well.
I mean, it was bad enough that the comment happened, but the way that the White House is handling the fallout has just made it worse.
Of course,
this is
it
a controversy that should have been finished and done with the day it happened. A statement quickly put out. Even Sarah Sanders from the podium of the briefing room, where she had multiple opportunities to just say this was the wrong thing to do, this Kelly Sadler has apologized and we are done with it. Instead, they put all the focus on the fact that this information was leaked out of this private meeting. Hey, listen, everything's being leaked out of this White House. That's not the problem. It's the fact that this person remains in her job. She promised Meghan McCain, the daughter of John McCain, that she was going to publicly apologize for that comment. She hasn't done it yet.
Which makes
it
worse.
Leads to the question, right. And that leads to the question of what type of environment has this White House created where a comment like that can be made in a room like that and considered to be acceptable? And there's no way you can avoid that, and the president's silence on this is deafening.
Can you think of any business, significant, small, medium-sized, that would have one of their employees say something of that nature, and it wouldn't be dealt with immediately? Immediately. Without excuse-making. I mean, any business with any integrity would have handled it, as you said, in the first hour.
Yeah. And the fact that I've been wrapping my brain around, you know, have I ever been in an environment where somebody made a comment like that and they weren't quickly chided and sent out the door? First of all, I don't think I've ever been in a room where someone's made a comment
right.
that awful. But then the idea that they wouldn't have been dealt with immediately and reprimanded. But then you're talking, I mean, this isn't just like some accounting office, on the south side of Chicago. We're talking about the White House. We're talking about one of America's most beloved figures in John McCain. And the fact that this way, and, you know, President Trump and John McCain don't see eye to eye on any number of issues.
It has nothing to do with it.
Because
right.
That he's not going to invite him to his funeral or whatever the case may be. At some point, the White House needs to take the opportunity to be the bigger people in circumstances like this. And time again, they choose not to take that option.
Has anyone else been struck by this? A week previous, Michelle Wolf, a bit of a hacky act, but Michelle Wolf is unbelievably offensive to the White House. The White House couldn't be more offended by Michelle Wolf, a comedian. So much so that she absolutely owes Sarah Sanders an apology. 7 days later, we're in the middle of this, and they don't apologize to a member of their own party and a bona fide American hero. How do you equate those two? I don't care how big a Trump supporter you are. How is A equal B in that case?
Yeah, and the same people that were so critical of Michelle Wolf and the White House Correspondents Association are now the same group of people that are refusing to criticize Kelly Sadler and her comments. You know, Matt Schlapp, who I like, I know pretty well from who runs CPAC. He was the one that walked out of the White House Correspondents Dinner during Michelle Wolf's comments. And now yesterday he was complaining about the fact that the information was leaked, not the fact that she made those comments. So, you know, hypocrisy works on both sides of the aisle. Everyone's ready to jump on and criticize someone whose political beliefs you disagree with. But I think this is where you see people of real integrity stand up and say, okay, come on, I don't care that she's a Republican or she's on our team. This shouldn't have been said, and something needs to be dealt with. And I almost think she's gotten to the point now, Steve, where perhaps she could have survived. She could have stayed in her job if she had, made amends. She said something stupid. They were in the heat of a very, hefty discussion about an important nominee for CIA director. I made a mistake. It's over with. I'm very sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But now the fact that they're unwilling to apologize, that this controversy is continuing into the next week, that makes you wonder how she can stay in her job.
But he sets the tone.
And how it can continue to be sustainable. Well,
but he sets the tone, though, too. He never, ever apologized for way back when calling McCain, he said, when the prisoner of war comment about, I like prisoners, yeah, like right. soldiers who aren't.
Well, and I would say that Sadler's condition of employment now is based on her not apologizing. And if she does apologize, they will remove her. How backwards is that?
No, I mean, there's a very good chance of that. And again, it goes back to the comment that I made before about the questions that many must have about the environment that this White House has created that allows a comment like this to even occur in a meeting like that. And the fact that she hasn't apologized publicly, the fact that the White House refuses to explain it in any way, shape, or form, and the fact that she remains at her job is the best indication of that. And you know, what's interesting is, you know, that there were pro-Trump people within the White House that leaked the fact that they had this kind of come-to-Jesus meeting where Sarah Sanders ridiculed the staff for this happening. They made passing mention to the fact that it shouldn't have been said and focused way more on the fact that the leak occurred. I guess maybe because I'm a journalist and I benefit from leaks, I'll be the first to admit that. But to me, that you lose, you're not putting your eye on the ball when you're talking about leaks versus the content of the leaks. Leaks are a completely separate conversation. Yeah, you've got a leak problem. You've got to deal with that. But you've also got to deal with the fact that this was said in this important meeting, and you still haven't done anything about it.
I'll let you go, Ryan, but I want to alert folks to two other things. In Axios this morning at Axios.com, a story about leakers and why they leak in the White House. Because you got to have a pretty poison environment to have this many people willing to talk, and they are. And then another story you'll see on CNN all day. MH370, the missing Malaysian flight on the way to Kuala Lumpur with over 220 passengers and I think 13 crew, now believed to have been a suicide mission where the pilot of the flight is believed to have killed his co-pilot and then taken the plane to a specific part where it could not be picked up by radar, previously researched, and buried it in the ocean. And they're quite confident they're right about that now. And again, I know you guys are covering that, Ryan. So thanks, and we'll keep you on all day.
All right, thank you, guys. Have a great day, great week.
Thanks, you too. That's Ryan Nobles. And back with the news next, 720 WGN.
Here's meteorologist Tim McGill.
Showers and thunderstorms for us have diminished a little bit this morning.
Yes. Tim, the morning rush hours suck. Will the afternoon rush hours suck?
Yes.
All right, cool. Talk to you later.
Yeah. They'll probably fire back up again around 4 or 5 o'clock this afternoon, and they're going to be probably stronger than the ones we saw this morning.
Excellent. Good news.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Tim. 56 degrees now. Light rain at O'Hare. 58 at Midway. It's 56.
And by good news, I mean bad news.
It's bad news. Yes. Yeah, bad news. But we'll make the best of it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
It's time now for Moron Entertainment. Sponsored
from New York City.
Yeah, live from New York City, where Dean looks like a tourist running around with a selfie stick. Sponsored by brand new Smile Dental Implant Center. So you're running around with a selfie stick.
Yeah, basically, it's slightly more sophisticated than a selfie stick, but it is. That's what it is. I've been in Times Square this morning.
Well, let me tell you something. I've worked in New York. I've lived in New York. And New Yorkers like nothing better than somebody from out of town with a camera getting in their way. Oh, I bet you're popular.
Oh, I'm not getting in their way. If anything, they're getting in my way. Only been shoved by a person once.
What was her name?
A tiny little woman. I did not get her name, but she shoved me and to her credit said, excuse me.
Excuse me, you effing tourist. Was that it?
No. New Yorkers are nice.
Listen, let's go backwards here before we talk about New York. Yesterday, your mom did appear on your show.
She did. She made a last-minute appearance after some cajoling. I was able to convince her to come on for a few minutes. And I thought she sounded fun. We seemed to have a nice reaction. She seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah, well, why wouldn't she, right? I mean, it's her little Deanie doing the show. I mean, I know she gets a lot of offers, but she should do your show.
Well, that's very true. CBS Sunday Morning, Jane Pauley was trying to get her on this year. and she decided to do my show instead.
So this morning, Dean Richards, I'm asking the question with the Walk of Fame coming up on Friday. Who are your two favorite WGN radio personalities of all time? All time. Your two favorites. You got two right off the top of your head.
Well, that's difficult because I have more than just two favorites.
Yep, can't have more than two.
I'm gonna exclude you from that list.
That's fine.
Naturally, you are my favorite as long as this is your show.
Right. And until, by the way, you and I have gotten a couple of votes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're on the board.
Oh, that's nice. Well, I got to put Roy Leonard on the list. Okay. Definitely.
Good.
I think Roy Leonard and this is hard. Roy Leonard and Bob Collins, I guess.
Yeah, Bob Collins, Spike, and Kathy and Judy running away with the poll.
Yeah, I can understand that. Those are some pretty classic personalities, but you know, Roy, because of the entertainment connection and how influential he was helping me along the way, and Bob is Bob. You know, nobody was bigger, nobody was more revolutionary. Nobody kind of redefined WGN really than Bob Collins.
So we'll continue with the poll. That's a text question. Your two favorite WGN radio personalities, 312-981-7200. Over the weekend, I was thinking of you because I saw this clip. It's viral, as the kids say. And it's Ryan Reynolds appearing in a unicorn outfit with a unicorn hat on, or a full face mask unicorn situation, so you couldn't see who he was, appearing on the South Korean version of The Voice, where the judges' chairs don't turn around, but all the contestants sing with a unicorn hood on their heads. And he came out, no one knew who he was, and he sang Annie. The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow, the big song, the big show-stopping song from Annie. We don't know why that was his selection, but how cool is he?
He's a great guy. He's nothing but fun. So friendly, so down to earth, so crazy to do stuff like that. That doesn't surprise me one bit that he did something like that. I'm going to be talking with him. That's the reason that I'm here. I'm going to be talking with him later today. It's the world premiere of his new movie, Deadpool 2. He was, just about half an hour ago, was outside of Good Morning America. Apparently, it's another morning show that's on also on television.
I've not heard of it, but I'll check it out.
The first time that I've ever heard of it. He was outside serving Slurpees to people. I don't understand why. I wasn't able to get close because there's also some sort of convention of Mary Kay Cosmetics people.
Oh boy.
That were pushing and shoving, and you don't want to get in the way of the Mary Kay Cosmetics people.
That's a great way to lose an arm.
Yeah, they're tough. They're rough out here.
All right,
they're introducing some new product.
Give me one big showbiz story we ought to be knowing about today.
One big showbiz story, I guess, is the Johnny B story. He has been placed into nomination for the National Radio Hall of Fame, first time ever on the ballot. Of course, spent time at the WGN Radio and up and down the dial, most famously at the Loop back in the 1980s. Online voting begins today for the National Radio Hall of Fame. And the ceremony will be here in New York City on November the 15th. So I guess, that's a pretty big deal.
Congratulations to Johnny B. Now, you say the ceremony's going to be in New York City?
That's what the story says. Because normally it's in Chicago.
Yeah, it's always been here. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Anybody else of note on the list, or is that from your New York vantage point? Was that the only clip you got?
This was the only clip that I got from my New York vantage point.
Okay.
The Wi-Fi here in Times Square is sketchy.
I understand. So are the people at times, though much better than they used to be. All right, get out there and annoy some more tourists. You'll be back when?
I will be back Tuesday. No, I'll be back Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
But tonight I'm talking to Ryan Reynolds. So tomorrow morning, if all the equipment is working properly, and so far it pretty much is not, we will have some clips of my interview with Ryan Reynolds tomorrow morning at this time.
Thanks, buddy. That's Dean Richards live from New York. It's sponsored again by brand new Smile Dental Implant Center.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
I must say something here that's painful for me to say. Maybe you don't need a new driver. Maybe I don't need a new driver.
As in a
brand new $500 driver.
Why?
Adam Scott, one of the best in the world, was playing at the Players' Championship this weekend. I believe he finished top 10, or maybe just outside the top 10. Adam Scott was playing with a Titleist 910 D3 model from 2011. And according to the Golf Digest Golf Club Value, it's like the blue book of golf clubs if you're selling used clubs, his club was worth $25.20. What? So one of the best on tour played with a driver valued at $25.20.
Wow. There's a blue book for drivers?
Yeah. It's the Golf Digest Value Book, I believe is what it's called.
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Yeah, when you trade in clubs, the retail people flip to this book and they determine what your value is.
Oh.
So if Adam Scott
can use a $5.
I know what you might be saying. You might be saying, Steve, he's slightly more talented than we are. Yes. Yes. But isn't that rather remarkable? $25.20. Because golf is one of the few things where you buy and customize your equipment.
Right.
And there's multiple stages of that. Mm-hmm. You know, we've heard of guys playing with their grandfather's niece's putter, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
But $25.20, that's the value of the driver.
He's thrifty, too.
Yeah, he is.
And I've got about 2,000 clubs in my garage. So.
God.
That's only a slight exaggeration. We'll come back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Seen other teams and it's never the same. When you're born in Chicago, you're blessed and you're healed. The first time you walk into Wrigley Field.
Big Dad Wrigley yesterday for Pink Out for Mother's Day. And Advocate Health, a big part of that. If you were watching the game yesterday or were at Wrigley. Mother's Day Pink Out at Wrigley Field, I think, is soon going to be sweeping the majors because a huge success. And let me introduce the guest, Dr. Neela Al-Sheikh, and Chair of Breast Imaging at Advocate Health, and Kristen Root, breast cancer survivor, who happened to be the honorary bat girl yesterday. Did you do well?
I think so.
Yeah. Were you nervous?
A little bit, yeah. Exciting.
Were you a jock? Did they have to teach you how to be a bat girl? Like,
no.
Don't go out on the field. Don't go over to the pitcher's mound and say hi. You know, don't try to take a selfie during the game. Those type of things?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what was the most tense moment for you as bat girl?
So I got to take out the lineup card to umpires at the beginning of the game. And right. I remember turning to the first base coach and I was like, don't make me look like an idiot. Because I don't know what I'm doing. And he laughed. Yeah.
Did you make any adjustments in the lineup prior to bringing him in?
No.
I said, Rizzo, I don't like the way you're looking today,
right.
Pal. You're sitting down. Dr. Al-Sheikh, let's start with you. What do we know about breast cancer today that we didn't know 10 years ago?
You know, really the ways that we screen and detect cancer have evolved pretty significantly.
And saving lives.
We're now able to find tumors a lot earlier.
Is this next generation imaging, or is it a completely different world than it was a generation ago?
It's pretty much next generation. Previously, the paradigm was 2D imaging, and now we do a lot of 3D screening mammography. Right. So it allows for a lot of earlier detection, sub-centimeter cancers, lower invasive cancers, so that we can find them earlier and treat them more expedient.
What are you most proud of what you guys are doing at Advocate?
Really, we have eliminated racial disparities across our very broad geography. So everyone across our broad geography has equal access to all of our most innovative technologies.
So statistically, we knew prior to this that brown people and black people maybe didn't have the same access, that type of thing?
That was sort of well substantiated in the literature. Exactly. And now we've eliminated those disparities. We have the most 3D mammogram locations in all of Illinois. We do approximately 230,000 breast imaging examinations a year across our broad geography. And we have the most complete turnkey solution in all the state of Illinois with 3D screening mammography, 3D diagnostic mammography, 3D biopsy. And now we even are doing mammography with contrast dye. So,
and it's 2018.
Very exciting.
It's 2018. Everybody obviously should have equal access. So yes. Those type of stories that'll make your head spin, right? Because you go, what do you mean we had to do this to level the playing field? But thank God you did.
Absolutely. Makes me very proud.
Kristen, I want to get Andre in here, but Kristen, you had a very interesting story because your cancer was found in kind of a unique way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. My husband and I have been trying to get pregnant for several years. We were doing different things with fertility and Clomid and, you know, certain injectables, hormones and stuff like that. And it got super stressful. It wasn't working. So we decided to do our first round of IVF, which
in vitro.
In vitro.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So that comes with its whole different thing of pre-screenings, lab draws. You have to get a pap smear, you know. So I started my injectable shots. It was my first week. And I had to go to my gynae for my routine pap. And she did my breast exam, found a lump. You know, she's like, you know, you're 35, you're turning 36, you've been on hormones a long time. You know, you are going for in vitro. You know, let's send you for a mammogram. So I went for my mammogram at Lutheran General, and which they do same-day results, which is a godsend at that day.
Sure.
And so I go in, and, you know, it was weird. Like, I had never been for a mammogram, so I didn't even know what to expect. So they take these pictures, but they're focusing on my left side. I'm like, well, the lump is on my right side. Mm-hmm. Turns out that I had breast cancer on my left side. The lump was nothing. So it was found on a complete fluke. I have no history of breast cancer.
So if not for IVF, you wouldn't even have found it.
Absolutely.
And by the way, if you don't find it then and you have no history and no reason to suspect you're anything but healthy,
yes.
You may have found it too late, too far down the road.
Absolutely.
I have a question about 3D mammograms, but a segue from what happened to you is, can hormones, is this a myth that can hormones lead to this? I mean, is there something that can lead to breast cancer?
You know, estrogen has a known causal link with breast cancer, but IVF and assisted reproduction has no causal link as yet in the literature to an increased breast cancer.
It's a great point, though, because a lot of folks are walking around with misnomers that keep them from even doing appropriate treatments. Is there anything else out there you'd like to dispel? Yeah. It's in the general, you know, knowledge base out there where people think, well, this is going to be worse than if I find out if I have breast cancer. Is there anything else there like that?
Right. You know, patients fear compression. It's a very quick and expeditious process. And really, the most important take-home point is annual screening mammograms every year at age 40.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of myths about when to start. Annual, age 40. If we take home nothing else today, that's really the most important.
Compression
one.
Is the test?
Compression is exactly that a female
the
has
two
to be
tables.
Compressed,
the,
exactly.
The bookends.
But oftentimes we can do that in under 3 to 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's life saving. Screening mammography.
Well, I've felt for a long time that, you know, I'm 57, so I don't have to worry about this anymore. But at 57, even, I think the man involved should actually have to go through the same type of test with a different part of his anatomy on that same day.
True.
Just to be fair.
Yes.
Right? To balance
so
it
nice
out.
Of you.
I can't get insurance to talk to me about
right?
this.
Yeah. You know, you bring up the 3D mammograms, and I had a question about that. This year, for my annual mammogram, first time ever, I got a call back, and I was scared to death. I was talking to you about this, and they said, just go immediately. I went back, same day results. They took the 3D mammogram. I was nervous when the radiologist came in to read the results. I mean, right, Kristen? Because all these things are going through your head.
Yes.
Thankfully, it was okay. And I said, can I just do the 3D mammogram every time now? I mean, can you do that if you've gotten a callback, or can you just request that?
Or does it depend on your coverage?
Yeah.
You know, at this point, because of Senate Bill 466, which Governor Rauner signed into effect on July 20, 2016 at Lutheran, now there is no cost sharing in the state of Illinois for 3D mammography. So, for example, at Advocate Lutheran Hospital, we offer 100% 3D screening mammography. And across our broad geography, we offer 3D at no cost sharing to all of our patients. So, yes. It's available for everyone as a standard of care now.
Can I just add, this is the first year my doctor actually prescribed a 3D mammogram, and I have the fibrous, you know, whatever problems. So all of a sudden she just said, yeah, this is the first time you're getting the 3D. I'm like, whoa. So I was surprised. But, hey, I've been having mammograms
since
I was 35 years old. So this was quite, I was very excited about it.
The thing I was going to bring up is something that came off of your conversation. I think it's something you had talked off the air about, too.
Right.
And that is... because of the volume of testing that goes on, the speed of getting results is better than ever, but it's not instantaneous.
Right.
So when a patient says to a doctor or to a caregiver or a technician, whoever they're dealing with, is this something I should be worried about? A, is it a fair question? And B, how should a medical professional answer that? Because especially, it's a Friday. You're going into the weekend.
Yes.
Or like you were talking about, same day is huge because you go home. You're not thinking this is all going to work out well. You're a human being. Everything's crashing at that point.
Luckily, we have wonderful intermediaries between the family medicine doctors, the OBs, who, let's say if it is a Friday evening, help us initiate contact with the patient and convey those results in as expeditious a time frame as possible. We're very respectful of patient anxiety. There's a visceral component to getting your mammogram results back.
And it's managing expectations, right? If you
Absolutely.
Can look somebody in the eyes and go, look, I know this sucks. We do this here every day, and I know you're going to be worried about this, but we're going to get this result back as soon as possible.
Absolutely.
And call us if you're freaking out, and we'd be happy to talk to you.
Right. So same day results within 24 hours, either electronically.
That's amazing.
By phone.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or via your referring provider if indeed you have to be called back.
I really felt good when the radiologist came in. You're scared doing it, obviously, for the callback, and you have to do a mammogram and then the other one as well. But I felt so much better having the radiologist right there
Absolutely.
Giving me the results.
We have a lot of patient contact. We take a lot of pride in sort of, you know, breaking those results to patients and answering any questions they may have.
Jackie's got a question. We'll get to that in just a second and more from both of you as well. And also our first Batgirl clinic.
Oh, yeah.
How to be a Batgirl. And Mary Super Joe has his Sox question of the week for a 4-pack of tickets for the Sox and the Rangers. Coming up, stand by for the Super Joe question.
Woo-hoo!
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Super Joe, you got a Sox question for me?
I sure do.
What is it?
In 2006, in a 2006 game between the White Sox and Cubs, A.J. Pierzynski barreled over Cubs catcher Michael Barrett and a brawl ensued.
Yeah, the fight.
When the dust finally settled, the Sox reloaded the bases and hit a grand slam. Who hit that grand slam?
Who hit the grand slam? And let me tell you something. This is not a household name.
That's a good question.
It's a very good question from Super Joe. I got 4 tickets for the Sox and the Rangers Sunday, May 20th at 1:10. And Super Joe is putting all these questions together in a book. It'll be selling. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I got a hint if we need it.
No, not yet. Let's see how good people are. And let's reintroduce our guests here in studio to talk about not just what happened yesterday at Wrigley, but breast cancer health, or breast health in general, and breast cancer and the fight. Kristen Root is here. And also Dr. Neela Al-Sheikh. You know, the biggest problem, doctor, is every time I look to pronounce your name appropriately, I try to read it as opposed to just saying it, then, you know, and having my head explode. Jackie is here. All right, Jackie, what's your question for the doctor?
Hi, I've had regular mammograms. I'm 54. And the last time I went in for a mammogram, my doctor said that you really don't need to come in every year anymore. Is that true, or is that an insurance thing?
You know,
thank you, Jackie. We'll get you going. Get you an answer.
Yeah. Thank you, Jackie. You know, there is no cost sharing for annual mammography, and we follow the screening guidelines that dictate and believe in strongly annual screening mammograms from age 40 to 75 or even later, depending on a patient's health. So I would somewhat part ways with that opinion of your physician. It'll definitely be covered by insurance, and we definitely recommend annual screening mammography.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get it.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
There's no cost sharing whatsoever for a screening mammogram.
What is it you want women to hear today outside of that advice? I mean, if you have any family history, how often do you test?
Right. So we take, you know, a screening history form whenever someone comes in. But depending on what your family history is, there are adjunct screening modalities. So you may get a yearly 3D mammogram, but we could also offer perhaps a whole breast screening ultrasound for you. If the lifetime risk is at a certain level, we could even offer MRI. So very important to go with the gold standard of annual screening mammography beginning at age 40. But understanding that depending on family history, there are many adjunct screening modalities available.
Question about family history. My grandmother had ovarian cancer. And died from it. But again, this is 25 years ago.
Sure.
So how important is that family history with breast and ovarian cancer? And I know there's a myth. I'm hearing sometimes people say, and I know this is a myth, oh, it skips generations. Can you kind of defunct some of that too?
You know, we're heading toward a personalized medicine paradigm. And for that, genetic screening is critical. So we perform 225,000 exams a year at Advocate. We do genetic screens on all of them, skipping a generation, et cetera. What we do is we take a very algorithmic approach to it. And if someone is over 20% in risk, so for example, if they have a first-degree premenopausal relative with breast cancer or a family history of ovarian, prostate, aggressive pancreatic, et cetera, they would qualify for genetic screening and adjunct screening modalities such as ultrasound and MRI. So very important to partake in the screening mammogram because that's a gateway to a genetic screen.
What's the next big thing? Is there something on the horizon you're excited about?
You know, really sort of this personalized medicine, genomics, personalized
based on your own
pathway.
DNA?
What was that?
Exactly. Based on your own DNA.
Exactly. Personalizing the treatment pathway and also personalizing the screening pathway. One size does not fit all, and we're very cognizant of that at Advocate Healthcare.
Dave, DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. Huh? Not just
that's
pretty,
correct.
Not just a pretty face, Dave.
Use it in a sentence.
I'm bringing it. And Kristen, good for you. I mean, to be a healthy woman of 35 or 36 and to have this rock your world this way and to be out front and be an inspiration for women, I'm
Thank
very
you.
Impressed.
Thank you.
What do you want young women to know? Just get yourself tested?
Get tested. Don't be afraid. You know, I had an outstanding healthcare team, and I trusted them. You embrace the journey. You trust the journey because of people that are taking care of you. Love the people that support you. But just know your body and don't be afraid to go get checked.
And self-testing is huge, right?
Huge.
Yeah,
monthly.
Yeah. Just make sure you're doing that as well. Thank you both.
Thank you.
What's
a
website that you were forced to mention?
That's right. AdvocateHealth.com/breast health. Online screening mammogram, same day mammogram, results today.
I probably should mention it again. I'm forgetful. AdvocateCom.
AdvocateHealth.com/breast health. Feel free to schedule your online screening mammogram.
Apparently, it's my first day. Congratulations to Steve and Lake Zurich. Super Joe, what was the answer to the question, who hit the Grand Slam after the AJ Michael Barrett fight?
That would be Tadahito Iguchi.
Bless you. What was the name again?
Second baseman Tadahito Iguchi.
And Dave, where is Tadahito Iguchi today?
I have no idea.
Nor does he.
Yes. I think he probably knew. Joe, do you know Super Joe?
Tadahito Iguchi.
Know.
He's actually filling in with Wendy today.
Oh, really?
It's
on the midday
show. Tadahito and Wendy at 10 Tadahito o'clock.
Wendy.
Back with the news next, and CLTV joins us as well right now. Hi to everybody there on 720 WGN.
The WGN Chicago Weather Center forecast showers and thunderstorms early and late today. 60
and as far as we know, 2:30, 3 o'clock is when it gets ugly again?
Well, I don't know if we have put exact time on
it. Well, I believe that's what I was told last hour by our Cracker Jack meteorologist.
Well, that's what we'll stay with. We're seeing some of those storms already fire up over Wisconsin
now. The real pounding around 4:30, right in the middle of rush hour.
Woohoo! Let's hope not, but that's
the forecast as it stands right now.
The rain right now, again, those thunderstorms I mentioned up in southeast Wisconsin, some strong thunderstorms with hail right now in Kenosha, Racine, and Walworth County.
It's nice downtown right now.
Heavy rain just to the north of us on radar.
Steve, I think what you're trying to say is people, if they want to get onto Michigan Avenue, they should be here right now.
Probably right now through the next 5 minutes.
Right. Yeah. After that, good frickin' luck.
I'm kind of psychic. I have a bit sense. What do you mean? It's like I have ESPN or something.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Our friend Jen Weigel in just a minute. She has ESPN. The question, I'll ask Jen this as well. Who are your two favorite WGN personalities of all time? Of all time. My favorite question of the day about this was Mary Vandeveld in the 6 o'clock hour. She herself going into the Walk of Fame on Friday, asking if it had to be people on the air. I think we'll do the off-air office segment probably off the air.
Well, yeah, but there's so many people that make this radio station that aren't on the air.
Well, I totally agree. They're much more important.
Credit as well.
Here's some more. 312, Steve and Roy Leonard. Thank you for that. AA847, Eddie Schwartz and Larry Schreiner. 219, Orion and Max. Or Orion and Harold Turner. Somebody goes back a ways. 247, Spike and Uncle Bobby. 630, John Williams and Spike. This is great. John Williams and Spike. Roe, a close third. Steve, you're a distant fourth.
Okay. Right.
708, Ian Pungent. It's actually Ian Punnett.
Yeah.
Ian Pungent and Greg Jarrett.
Where did Punnett ever go?
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What?
Did he go back to the Quad Cities?
Ian Punnett? I don't know. Ian Punnett did, who was the all-night guy that just died? Art Bell, right? Art Bell?
Yeah.
I think Ian Punnett did the weekend Art Bell thing. So he was the guy on the weekend doing the Supernatural show.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's
okay.
Right. 630, Spike, David Kaplan, Link Hampton, and Maxfield, Bite Me.
Oh, yeah, because she always used to say bite
that
me
was her
to
thing.
Them. Yeah,
yeah. No, I'm not saying bite me
no,
to the listeners.
Or to Ann.
630, Steve Cochran and Andrea Darla. 773, Steve Cochran and Dean. 312, Lou Manfredini and his friend Lou Manfredini.
Oh.
And 630, Nick DiGilio and Brian Noonan. So the standings, if we go to the tote board.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give you a top five here. Bob Collins. Follow Bob Collins and Spike actually tied at the top. Kathy and Judy would be second. It looks like Big O is third. And after that, my head hurts.
Yeah.
See my score sheet? It's a little crowded.
I know. I was like, how can you read that?
It's a little bit crowded. Anyway, that's the question. Your two favorite WGN personalities of all time. Walk of Fame ceremonies on Friday. Text question answers at 312-981-7200. The lovely and talented Jen Weigel has ESPN, and she's on the phone right now.
You know what? If they were on-air people, where's Rick Kogan in that list?
Rick Kogan is on the list because Sandberg is in love with Rick Kogan, and she voted for him twice right at the top of the show.
Fantastic. Okay, yes. And then I was going to say, if it's off the air, we'd have to say Bob Ferguson and Ben Cortez.
Okay. All right, you come by for the post-show meeting, we'll have that vote.
Hi, Steve.
Hi. We gave Kogan one. So what's your other one? Who's your other?
My other, I would say Kathy Worthington. You know, you got to stay loyal.
Oh, your mom. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, Kathy Worthington.
Because your mom was on Bob's show, right?
Right, and with Kathy and Judy. She did the news for Bob Collins and Kathy and Judy way back in the day.
Look at you.
But also, Milt Rosenberg. Where's Milt?
Milt's on here. Yeah, Milt's gotten a handful of votes as well. Yeah, the great Milt Rosenberg. And Max is on here as well. Just people you'd expect to, you know, get votes. Steve and Johnny got a bunch of votes. So, all right. Speaking of being up late and being psychic, you have another show coming up?
Yeah, but it doesn't have to do with psychics. I know you're floored.
No, because I'm spiritual, damn it. Your mantra,
that's
your
right.
book, your program.
You're spiritual. Yeah.
I'm very spiritual.
Yeah. We all are.
So here's the thing. We have an event tomorrow night at the Wilmette Theater, my home away from home, about the energy of money. So apparently your financial spending habits could have something to do with your spiritual health, mental health. And we've got a couple of financial planners who have a big belief that the big picture is important here. And you got to get in alignment with that if you want to really flow and bring in the abundance. So it's about manifesting. It's about learning your spending habits. It's about being true to your, you know, kind of your internal compass. Chad Coe and Julie Murphy Casserly, both highly reputable, both have written lots of books. Both are spiritual, damn it, but they don't really announce that. But they're going to tell you how to get more money, get smart with your money. So it's the energy of money, and we want to give away some tickets.
Well, okay, let's do that. Seventh caller, if you can go tomorrow night, don't just call because you want to be a big winner, but if you can go to the Wilmette Theater tonight and you're interested, 312-981-7200 is the number, 312-981-7200. Wilmette Theater tomorrow night, what time?
7 p.m.
tomorrow night. You know, when you're talking about this, thinking of Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey, the longtime syndicated radio financial guru, he does a big spiritual thing with Christianity. He ties it back into Christianity and faith and this spiritual side of money.
It's all tied together, believe it or not. I mean, we can't be, you know, if you think you can just only stay in one lane and not have all of it, it's like all of it comes into play and people don't realize that. You know, there's so many wounds that we have from our life. If we don't heal those, they're going to come out in how we spend, how we hoard, how we waste. You know, it's all sort of connected and it's all spiritual, damn it.
And tomorrow night you'll have a Q&A after the talk?
Oh, yeah. People will be able to get, you know, imagine, these people are normally, what, a few hundred bucks an hour for their time?
Right.
So for a couple of bucks, you'll get one-on-one time with them and questions and all that stuff. Because it's going to be, it's always an intimate experience there, and they really want to help. So just come and socialize and hang with us, but also get some information to boot.
How was your Mother's Day?
You know what? It was great. I spent it with my kid, as one should on Mother's Day, and I watched him fish. He loves to fish.
Nice. Where'd you go fishing? Yeah. At the shed?
We went up to Lake Geneva with some friends. They have a place up there. We went and hung out, and he caught a bunch of fish. And, you know, we do that catch and release where you basically maim a fish and cause it to have all the scars.
You don't maim. Listen, it's not a beauty contest. You catch the fish, you look at it, you take a picture, you throw it back.
That's what we did for like hours.
Maim a fish. Hey, honey, you want to go maim some more fish? Look at you. I have a very distinct memory of going fishing when I was a little kid. We used to camp on Lake Ontario. right on the border of Canada and New York State. Beautiful area. And I have a distinct memory of going out in a rowboat with my mom, my 5 foot tall mom, and probably weighed 100 pounds dripping wet. And she caught a catfish that at the time I thought was taller than she was.
Oh, wow, that's funny.
And
you know what? I caught a catfish that was almost as big as I was when I was 5. True story. My father took us up to Mike Royko's place. He had a place up in Wisconsin.
The old Mike Royko fishing camp.
Yeah. And that would be, you know, like between fishing, my dad would give me the keys to the car and be like, go, come on, we need some more milk. Go to the store. We didn't even have a license, but that's a totally different broadcast
for another show
with our therapist.
Right.
But anyway.
In Wisconsin, it's fine.
It was totally fine. They gave you a six-pack of beer at the same time.
Right.
But no, we literally, I fished. My first catch was a giant catfish. And my dad would tell the story. And every time he told the story, that fish got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Sure.
To the point where it was as tall as I was. But it really was big for a 5-year-old who'd never caught a fish before.
It was a little
jarring.
I don't think of Tim Weigel as being an outdoorsman. Was he big on that?
Oh, gosh, no. No, he couldn't even hold a hammer.
That's what I thought.
Handy, and he was, no, not at all. But he hired people for that. But we would go to places, and he liked the thought of it. But no, yeah. Royko was really into fishing, so he did all the technical stuff. And he wasn't really patient with kids, so there was a lot of yelling.
Wow. Even after you caught your fancy fish, so did you ever fish after that, or was yesterday the first time you'd been back around the water?
No, my son actually tells me that I'm not allowed to vocalize my concern for the fish's well-being, because that seems to happen a lot. I'm like, it's going to be okay. We'll get you back in the water. You know, I'm too empathetic to be a fisherman.
The fish are okay. Catch and release is right. It's funny, because I caught a great white shark in the Fox River.
You did not.
And I tossed him back, because I'm a giver like that.
You're all about nature.
That's it. That's it.
You're spiritual, damn it. I love you for it.
Wilmette Theater, baby, tomorrow night. What time?
Yes, no fishing stories allowed. We're going to be talking about the energy of money, 7 p.m. at jenweigel.com/gigs. If you want to learn more about other stuff, we have so many events coming up this summer. It's going to be a hoot.
All right. Thank you. It's Jennifer Weigel. Always welcome on this program. She's family.
Yes.
Lisa from Wheeling is going to the show tomorrow night. Lisa from Wheeling was your big winner.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
219 says, you want me to pick two WGN favorite personalities? It's like picking your favorite kid.
Aww.
Can't do it. Love WGN all day and all night. Say hi to Dave Innitt.
Really?
Yes, 219. Mike,
does that count as a vote?
Yes, it
Thank
is.
You.
Yes, it
Thank
is.
You.
219. Mike Rapchek?
Yeah. Did help music... I want to say not Music Till Dawn or one of those shows, but he did a music show.
Okay. Mike Rapchek and Wally Phillips, 773, Johnny B. and Wally P. I don't know if they actually like him. They just like the way those two sounded together.
Johnny B. and Wally P.
815, Larry Schreiner, Stephen Johnny, and Nick D. 630, Stephen Rokan. 312, Wally and Milt. 941, Wally and Bob. 224, Bill and Wendy Rock. 309, Stephen Orion. Anybody other than Dave Kaplan?
That's not nice.
78, Ro and Steve. 847, Nick and Dean. 773, Stephen Big O. I love this one. 847, Andrea Darlish. And Esmeralda.
Oh, that's nice.
708, Steve King and Johnny. 630, Bob Spike and Annette. 847, Simon and Jim Lasky. Not kidding. Apparently, a call from the great beyond.
I think that has to be a joke.
I have to believe that call was from a dead guy in San Francisco.
Yeah.
There's no other explanation for that.
Mm-hmm.
847, Brian Noonan and Nick DeZiglio.
I remember him. He did a music show.
He did. 630, Wally and Milt. 920, John Williams, followed by Pat and Ron, followed by Steve Cochran and Franklin McCormick. Remember when Franklin McCormick and I did that show?
I was going to say, that has to make you feel good to be right up there with Franklin McCormick.
Sure.
Yeah.
630, Bertrand and Williams, although I really miss Leslie Kaling. It's Kaling's voice,
yeah.
Right? 847, Mike Rapchek. Mike Rapchek and Rick Kogan and 630, Dave Innitt. All right, so there you go.
Oh, there you go, Dave. You got a vote.
Oh,
he was worried because he didn't think he got a vote.
He's had more than one vote. He's had three.
Worried.
Well, you were a little upset.
You're a little tense.
I was a little hurt.
Yeah.
A little tense.
A little hurt.
You had three votes, but based on the fact that you were hurt, you now have two. One was removed. We're going to come back with your headlines in just a second on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Grab some Italian seasoning because, you know, it wouldn't be an Italian beef sandwich without Italian seasoning. I got a ton of peppers here. We got to make our sweet peppers, chop our onions, our garlic for our au jus. Look at that. Oh, man, is that a monster. Perfect. I mean, this thing will last you at least 3 days.
Sandwich, sandwich, I'm in love with you. You've got lettuce and tomatoes, too.
That was Jeff Morrow. We'll meet Jeff in just a second here. Again, Jeff's been on the program before. Jeff is making everybody hungry. So yeah. He is going to have to buy us food and bring it here.
Yeah.
But Steve Stone is here. Now, Steve Stone wandered into the building.
I know, frankly, I was so excited.
Listen, he can't hear me right now, but honestly, I've never seen Steve more attractive.
Me too.
He's showered.
That's
he's got
a
blazer
you.
On. He's as thin and as fit as I've seen him in years. Yep. He could pitch tomorrow, and frankly, we may need you.
I think we're going to be okay, actually. The bullpen was very good yesterday, which was a startling revelation for us. And Giolito navigated around seven walks to be able to get a win. And I think, look, you take one of three at Wrigley Field. That club was very hot in their ballpark.
Yep.
So I think when you lose the first two, you win the second one. You get to go to Pittsburgh today. Everybody is kind of happy about that. And the streak is over as far as the Sox are concerned. The streak is over as far as the Cubs are concerned. But I was kind of wondering yesterday why a sandwich was not sent up to the booth, as I understand that our guest today has something at Wrigley Field and nothing. I got nothing. We're sitting up there starving.
Yeah, we couldn't clear security. You're so...
Right, he's such a star, you cannot get near him.
He can't even get close to you, even with free food.
You know, the paparazzi follows him around all day. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know who's got the food and who's got the camera. You know, that's the difference. Well, stick around, Steve, because you know Jeff.
And I do.
Because you guys go back 5 minutes now.
Yeah, I do.
All right, talk about that piece of tape we played when you were named next. Was it Food Network? Food Network's Next Star?
That was the first episode of the first season of Sandwich King, which was the show I won competing on Food Network Star season seven, 8 years ago. And that was it. Like, that was me in my infancy before I was this beautiful butterfly that you see in front of you today. That was
that's true.
The gangly little caterpillar crawling into that cocoon.
Yes.
So but that was a magical time.
All right. Know? So what makes a great sandwich? The bread or what's in it?
Well, I mean, it's way more than the bread. It's about
the sum of
its parts.
I'm throwing you softballs. Okay. Don't get snippy with me.
We're talking about the ratios. I think that's the most important part when you are constructing a sandwich.
Okay.
Is paying attention to each ingredient and making sure each ingredient not only shines but also adds to the party.
You want it.
You can't have too much
the
meat.
The party in your mouth.
Exactly.
You want to taste it. You want to know what you're eating, but you don't want to miss it. You don't want so much of one thing you miss the other.
Well, sometimes there's a lot of these chef-inspired sandwich shops now and very fancy giant burgers you get at all these various places throughout the city, and sometimes it's a little too much.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need a crab knuckle, foie gras, an aioli.
Well, you know what else is
thick cut bacon on top of a burger patty.
I don't like an egg either.
I don't like an egg.
I'm sorry.
I do love egg. Egg on.
Sure. Yeah,
it's great on many things. You know, Napolitan style pizza or like a carbonara, whatever. But I think at the end of the day, people get a little overambitious with their sandwich.
You agree with that, Steve Stone?
3-4 ingredients most, Steve.
For me, and I love sandwiches, always have, but to me, texture is very important. Mm-hmm. How important is texture for you, and how do you go about determining the texture of the sandwich?
That is
great
question. Better than Steve's original question. You know what? You're not wrong. That was a better question.
That was a better question. He's an athlete, and he asks athletic questions to me finally for a change. Yeah. That's a hard ball, and that's what I want, Steve.
Yeah, you wanted to see some heat.
I wanted to see a little cabbage on that.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm telling you now is that the texture is you got to have some textural component to it. It can't just be like a soft, chew in your mouth. You need a little something.
Gum it. You want to work a little.
Okay, right. God gave us teeth for a reason.
Yeah.
Okay, some of us have held on to them. Steve, I see your pearlies right here. I can't even look at you straight in the eye. It's unbelievable. You got a great dentist and a great teeth.
Yeah, no kidding. He still has his own hair, too. Man, am I bitter.
I know.
Can I ask a condiment question, too? I just like a little mustard.
Condiments. You know what condiments are? Condiments are the people that show up at the party that you're not even sure were invited.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, but the people who pile on like ketchup,
but every great party
pickle,
needs
relish.
That guy at the party.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? The ringer.
You can have too many, then.
You can definitely have too many. Like, listen, and don't double schmear it, all right? You can't do bottom and top bun. You got to just choose one. It's usually the top bun, depending on the placement of the vegetables. Because if you put the tomatoes directly on next to, adjacent to the schmear of the sauce or condiment, you do get slippage.
Don't people double schmear, hurt. Dave.
No, I won't.
Did you finish it? By the way, did you finish the texture answer? I don't know if you finished that answer.
Texture is very important, Steve, yes. Whether that's a nice piece of crispy bacon or even, you know, a nice piece of iceberg lettuce to give it a little texture, something to bite on. But then again, you can't have too much texture. Say you have a nice, robust, toasted ciabatta bun, which can be a little hard to wrestle with.
But has it.
You need something soft in between. You can't have something too crispy as a bread, like a nice French baguette, where it's like, it's, you know, bursts in your mouth with that beautiful texture, right? Crunchy. And then you can't have bacon and then lettuce and then pickles. You can't have too much
texture. You got to mix it up.
And don't go above three or four ingredients.
Dave, hold that thought. We're going to come back. Dave Ennett has a probing personal question that's none of his business in just a second.
Oh, God.
And then we'll find out why Steve Stone wandered into the studio. It turns out it's Kaplan's fault.
Really?
Are we surprised?
Stunning.
Not so much.
Let's make a sandwich. Let's make a sandwich. Let's make a sandwich, you and me.
It's Jeff Morrow with his first band.
It really was. Eighth grade was a wonderful year.
Steve Stone, Dave Kaplan told you today was the Walk of Fame ceremony?
This could very well have been operator error. As far as what I heard at the old ballpark yesterday, but I thought I identified today, and then I realized when nobody was here that possibly it was not today. And
what a good friend you are of David Kaplan to show up.
Well, I was going to show up because it's a miracle to me that he's actually being inducted into anything. But the fact is he is, and so I figured why not show him some support? He's been here for, what, going on 50 years now as far as...
Well, but we threw him out a couple of years ago, and now, of course, he's missing. We don't know what happened to him, but that's why he's getting a plaque. We're hoping for the best.
Kind of nice. He said, like, the Walk of Fame, so people will be able to do what they've done for years. They walk right over him.
That's a beautiful thing. And Steve, a sandwich fan as well, we decided, well, let's get Steve to stick around for Jeff Morrow, who's got an event at Dominican University on Wednesday. You're being, well, honored in a way. You're the
Tuesday
you're,
night. Tuesday
oh, it's
night,
Tuesday?
Steve, please. There goes your Walk of Fame.
Wow.
Star or whatever.
Well, I don't know. Call me crazy, but the Wednesday Journal made me think it might be on Wednesday. So Tuesday night at Dominican University at Oak Park.
All right. Yeah, so it's Tuesday night, Oak Park. Tickets are available at wednesdayjournal.com/conversations. It's being conducted by Charlie Meyerson.
He's thrown out of here, too. He used to work here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's great guy, you know, local legend, international legend, I should say.
All right, don't
push
it.
A lot of times I come to these shows and I do 5 minutes and I talk about bread and condiments, and I don't really get in depth into the history or how I got to this point right now. And it's a pretty interesting story. So we're, you know, it's an hour long thing, and I'm really proud to be doing it. You know, I haven't given many talks or anything at universities.
You're not even allowed on most campuses.
I'm not even allowed on most campuses. Yeah. So this is an honor to kind of, you know, I don't know if I'll wear a blazer with elbow patches or not, but
I wouldn't.
I will be definitely smoking a pipe.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a real fun thing to, a lot of laughs, everything. I think I'm going to bring my guitar and maybe make up a song
better than the last one.
Those two wonderful top 10 hits that you played for us earlier. So it's going to be a very unique night with me and Charlie. And come on out. I mean, tickets are going fast. So,
do you want to plug Pork and Mindy's?
Sure, why not? I mean, it's the, you know, porkandmindy's.com for all our locations. We're open at... every day.
You know, I helped you open this joint 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah,
I don't even think I got. I don't even think I got a whiff of the sandwich.
No, I said I got.
I felt like I was used.
I got. It's right next to all the stuff in the green room where you guys provided for me, the bottle of water, which is non-existent, or the spread of bagels.
Hey,
not
we're
even
moving. The edible the
arrangement. Nothing. I was hoping for a permaseal battery.
You need. Listen, whatever you need, feel free to ask. All right, before we run out of time, most overrated sandwich in America today. Is it a turkey? Whatever.
Nobody's gonna kill me on this. I don't think anybody will. I don't know why. I've had it many. I've had them in Miami. All right. I've had them at various locations. I've had it. A Cubano. I don't know. To me, it's like too much texture when it's pressed. It's all I'm getting is a crunch from the outside of the bread and really not enough in the middle.
I don't disagree.
All I'm tasting is mustard and pickles. I think there are some great elevated ones I've had out there.
He's not
Listen,
wrong.
I've had them in Miami at the Versailles, Cafe Versailles, everywhere. And it's good, but I think, to me, it's never been life-changing.
Steve Stone, if you could only have one sandwich for the rest of your life, what's it going to be?
A corned beef sandwich, because my cardiologist said I've lived too long, and have as much corned beef as you can. And if you can, make it as fat as you can. So to me, corned beef sandwich, rest of my life, I'd be happy.
Dave Bennett, one sandwich, rest of your life.
Turkey with a little horseradish sauce.
Andrea Darlis.
I'm saying an Italian.
Lobster roll.
Mm-hmm. Lobster roll. Whoa, highfalutin. Yeah. This guy's got bucks, you can tell.
Oh,
Steve.
There's no doubt that if you can afford a lobster roll, you can afford a green room. Certainly,
I mean, corned beef is like $4.99.
I didn't say I'm paying for it.
This poor guy just wants turkey.
Right.
You got to go swing for the fences.
Yeah. All right, website for you and all things social media. What do you want to say?
At Jeff Morrow on Instagram, Facebook, The Real Jeff Morrow. That was a,
something happened. To pay for that, I'm sure.
That's a whole other story. I'll tell you at the Conversations Wednesday night. And be sure, WednesdayJournal.com/conversations. Come out. Tickets affordable. An hour with me, Jeff Morrow. I'll give everybody a hug that comes there. That's a guarantee. I might even bring some freebie stuff, too. Maybe some pork and mindy sauces and our famous pig candy, too, for all those people that show up.
Pig candy's the best.
Steve Stone, White Sox baseball every game. White Sox baseball and the White Sox next play in Pittsburgh tomorrow night. When do you guys fly?
We fly this evening, assuming that the weatherman will let us do that. Okay. And it's good because it's only a 90% chance of rain tomorrow and 80% chance to rain on Wednesday, so we're in pretty good shape.
Oh, yeah. Enjoy Pittsburgh. 170%. It'll be like your trip to Minnesota, but without the snow.
Yes,
so it'll be a lot of fun.
We're looking forward to it.
Someday Steve will actually watch baseball again. Great to see you, man. Bill and Wendy are here. Another subtle change from one show to another.
Yeah. Man, it's crazy in here today.
We did a text question today. Your two favorite WGN personalities of all time. You guys did pretty well.
Did we do all right?
Yeah, that's including two separate texters who said, I follow them everywhere.
Oh.
Wow.
Meaning
I'm looking behind me.
Oh, there they are. I see them. There they are right there.
But the winners, Bob Collins. This is why turnout is so important.
Yeah.
You think your one vote doesn't matter? Bob Collins beat Spike Odell by a single vote.
Wendy hasn't voted yet, and I haven't voted yet.
One.
You guys got a lot of
Can we
votes.
Vote? Polls are closed. Oh, we don't get to vote?
Who would you have said?
Oh, Eddie and Jobo.
They're actually
God.
Not
I have no time for you.
On
I was
the list.
Say, we can do the Chicago way and reopen the polls.
And as far as you know, Kathy and Judy and Big O finished third.
They did well.
That would have been my vote.
Deserved.
Kathy and Judy.
Deserved.
And you guys have Brandmeier on today about the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, Bruber. That's great news.
It is great news. Johnny deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. We'll see if you people vote enough to get him in.
Well, I will deserved. Vote for him.
Yeah, so will I. I'd absolutely vote for him. He's one of the greats. All right, so listen, I got to go. I know you guys want me to stay, but I got to go. So here's
stay.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow. Cold.
This is Chicago's very... I got Bertrand looking over my shoulder right now. So.
Oh, it's intimidating, and he's in the Walk of Fame.
I'm doing nothing up here.
No, you're just mean.
Me.
Mean. Yeah.